right, let's get your prayer sheets out tonight. And we'll go ahead and get going. Maybe I can let you out a little early tonight. All right. Haley, you okay? Doing all right? Where's my coffee? Where's my coffee? You got like 20,000 coffee machines in your house, you know. Jeez. What do I have to do to get a cup of coffee around here? Make my own? Yeah, okay. All right. I can do that. All right. Yeah, I do. So, all right. I do have a couple of announcements I want to remind you about. Blanket blessings. I received a phone call from a lady yesterday thanking our church for the blanket that she had received. So ladies, don't forget about that. And then I'll tithe and offering Sunday, a week from this Sunday. And then we'll also be having that Sunday will be communion Sunday as well on the 21st. Okay, so don't forget about those. All right, I've got a couple of new things since I printed this out. Now, Richard texted me today, and he's been having some dizzy spells, lightheadedness. So he went to his cardiologist on Monday, they did a stress test, nuclear stress test, and his heart rate dropped real low, down to about 40. So they're kind of concerned about his pacemaker. So they reprogrammed his pacemaker, and everything worked fine. But he saw his cardiologist today, and his cardiologist wants to do a catheterization because he has a stent in his right ventricle. So when that is, he doesn't know yet. So as soon as he does, I'll let everybody know, okay? And I forgot to put Duncan on the prayer sheet, but if you would add Duncan Hubbard, H-U-B-B-A-R-D, Duncan Hubbard, and his mother, that is a co-worker of Scott's and a friend of mine still recovering from COVID. Is his mother still in the hospital? She's still in ICU. Is she on a vent? She's on a vent. Okay. All right. So we'll pray for Duncan and also for his mother, Mrs. Hubbard. I've seen him on Facebook a little bit here and there, so I'm not sure if he's still in the hospital or not. I meant to ask Dr. Norm the other day when I was at her office, but I have not heard anything. I know he's off the vent, because I don't think he could be on the vent and going on Facebook, you know. But we'll still keep him on there, though. All right. Okay, how's your sister? Oh, they do? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, what was the stroke as a result of the tumor?
I don't know if they're related or not.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to looking down the list here. I don't see anything that we need to update on here. Does anybody have anything? Good to see Mrs. Barefoot back. She's been sick with a nasty cold and flu. Okay, I'm glad you're. But you're negative. Okay, that's good. So, all right. Yeah, you still sound kind of stuffy. Yeah, today is Mike's birthday, Scott's birthday. Did y'all know y'all have the same birthday? Do you? You do now? Yeah. And Kim keeps coming in and flaunting her Carolina stuff in front of me, just trying to, you know, something. Isn't there some scripture in the book of Moses or something about provoking your pastor to wrath, you know. The book of what?
Book of Bill.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Hezekiah, yeah. All right, anything else tonight? All right, we do have a couple of men in our church that are out training. So let's pray for those men. Okay. All right, yes. Yeah, yep, she just shot a message on our Facebook thing that she is at home with a cold. All right, so we'll pray for her, okay? All right, pray for Glennis. She is going to be moving. She's hoping, she called me the other day, and she's hoping to be out by the end of February to be located down to Myrtle Beach. And she's at peace. She said, I'm happy with this, and I am at perfect peace with it. I did talk to Noel today, and they are hoping to be in their new house by the end of the month. So men, probably not this Saturday, but the 21st, she may need some help moving some furniture. So if you're available, I'll let you know. She'll let me know, and then I'll let y'all know, okay? But just moving the heavy stuff over there, okay? Anything else tonight? All right, well, let's pray together, all right? Our Father, we do certainly come before you tonight and just praising you for all the wonderful things that you have done and given to us. And Father, there is absolutely no way that we could ever thank you enough and praise you enough for what you have done and what you are doing and what you will continue to do for us. And Father, we thank you for your sovereignty as we will continue to discuss that tonight. We thank you for your sovereignty and for your greatness and for your blessings. I do thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the gift of repentance. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for your word, for the freedoms that we have. And Father, as we come before you tonight, we pray for our church needs. We pray for our attendance, pray for our spiritual growth. We pray for our financial growth. We pray, Father, that you would bring to us more and more people that want to be part of a church that that just takes your word and we just go book by book and chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and we just concentrate solely on your glory and solely upon your word, and that they will have a desire to be committed to your church. And Father, we pray for every ministry that is a part of this church, and we pray that you would bless each and every person in each and every ministry. And Father, we pray for those that need to be born again. We pray that you would draw them unto yourself, and may they hear, and may they respond, and may they embrace the gospel call of repentance from sin and towards belief in the finished work of Christ. And Father, we also pray for so many that are on our weekly prayer sheet. We have some that are just chronically ill with cancer, going through surgeries and treatments. And we just lift them before you. We continue to pray for Maury Turner. And we pray that you would continue, Father, to protect him and watch over him. And that he'll be able to have the procedure on Monday and that all would go well. And we just thank you for their testimony that he and Stephanie have had, and they will be able to just show and to tell others about how faithful you are and have been to them and how you have just guided them through this process. We also pray, Father, for Donna LaRoy and she recovers from this stroke. We pray, Father, that any effects from it will be temporary and that she'll be able to recover quickly. We also pray for all of those with cancer. We pray, Father, that as they go through this battle, as they go through these treatments, we pray for every blanket that goes out from the blanket blessings. And we thank you, Father, that it has been a blessing. And we ask you, Father, that each and every one that goes out, that it would be a blessing to that individual and to that family that receives them. And we also pray for many that have other health issues. We pray for Richard, and we pray that that the heart issues that he has been having would be very temporary, and we pray for wisdom and guidance for him. We also pray for Duncan Hubbard and for his mother as they're continuing to recover from COVID. We pray for those that travel because of work. And we pray for the school year, for the teachers and students, the parents, and as we're finishing up basketball season, then next week starting up with football, and then quickly softball and baseball will follow. And we pray that it would just be a good reprieve to these students, that they'll be able to participate and be able to be kept safe. And pray for all the officials as they travel from site to site, and those that are leading in the schools, that you would give them wisdom and guidance. We also pray, Father, for the shut-ins. We pray for our government. We pray for our military, especially those that are training. Pray for those two men of our church that are in training exercises, and we pray for them. We pray for every missionary, and we just lift them before you. And this week, we're praying in particular for Rick and Nancy Montez. We do ask and pray that you would bless that ministry. And Father, as we get into your word tonight, I pray that you would bless in here. I pray that you would bless the Awana. And I pray that you would bless our youth. And also, Father, I pray that as we go into this upcoming Lord's Day, I pray, Father, that our hearts and minds should be open to the teaching and preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Yes, sir. Okay. Are they going to start making it mandatory for you to have the vaccine to be able to travel international? Right. Yeah. I've heard that being mentioned. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. But okay. Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 8 tonight to begin with. Then we're going to review for a little bit, see how many of you actually not only paid attention to last week, but you also remember what we talked about from last week, okay? All right, so we'll see how many of you actually retain knowledge. Okay, we'll see how many of you. Now, Ms. Faye, you're giving a bye. Okay, because you were in the nursery last week, right? Oh, you were? Okay, all right. I think you were in the nursery with Sean last week, I think. So we'll give you a bye, all right? But everybody else, okay, you have no excuses. Well, Miss Barefoot, okay, yeah, we'll give her a bye tonight, all right? Okay. Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Okay, so remember that, saying that all the nations will be blessed in you. Let's see if this is going to work tonight. Okay, Mike? All right, so the first thing that we were discussing last week was point number one. So now let's go back to the book of Genesis. Okay, very first book of the Bible. Okay, Genesis chapter 12. Let's go there. This is where we will start reviewing. Okay, Genesis chapter 12. Okay, just in case you're wondering where it is, book of Genesis, just go to the very front of your Bible and open it up. And there it is. And then all you have to do is just count the chapters. Okay? Now, I know for first grade teachers, getting up to 12 would probably be very tough to find, but it's after the number 11. Okay? All right. Okay. So now my picking has gone from Kim now to Hallie. Okay, so we talked, first of all, we talked about last week of how God declared his plan. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, is God's sovereignty, right? God has a plan. Does anything ever sneak up on God? Yes or no? No. Has God ordained everything? Yes, he has. Okay, so nothing ever happened just by happenstance surprises God. Nothing at all. God has ordained everything to happen according to his purpose. So the first point that we looked at last week is how God declared his plan for Israel and humanity. Okay, so let's look at chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, we just read from Galatians. Okay, now, a lot of what is written in the New Testament is what was written in the Old Testament. Okay, as we discussed Sunday morning in Sunday school in here, the writers of the New Testament, they didn't have the New Testament. Okay, they didn't have any of it. Okay, so what Timothy had access to, where it said where Paul said, from your youth you have known the Holy Scriptures. Well, the only part of the New Testament that Timothy might have had was access to a couple of letters that the Apostle Paul had wrote. But where it says that you have had access to the Holy Scriptures, or you had learned the Holy Scriptures, what was he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. That is why we must never disregard the Old Testament. We need to embrace the Old Testament, okay? Because the Old Testament is just as much of God's Word as the New Testament. It's just as important. And you see redemption all throughout the Old Testament, okay? Where you see the Passover, where you see the sacrifice of the Lamb, where you hear about the Promised Land, okay? All of those things, okay, is talking about the sacrifice of Christ, the Promised Land. Do we have a land that is promised to us? Yes, we do. It is called heaven. Okay, so the first point that we looked at last week is how God's covenant promises to Abraham. God's covenant promises to Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will what? Show you. Now you talking about stepping out on faith. Let's maybe put it in today's society. Okay, I receive a calling from God. Okay, now not an audible voice like Abram had received, but I receive a yearning from the Holy Spirit. Dwayne, sell your house, sell everything you have, tell Sean to pack whatever belongings that you want to take with you, buy a plane ticket, go to England, and I'll just show you where to go. Now, how many of y'all would look at me and say, Dwayne, you're stupid? I would probably even look at the mirror myself and say, Dwayne, you're stupid. Okay, that doesn't make much sense. Okay, that doesn't make much common sense. Okay, just selling everything and just hopping on a plane and going to a country where I don't have a house, I don't have a job, I don't have any income coming in, okay, I don't have anything, don't know anybody, I just pack it up and go. Well, that is exactly what God told Abram to do. He said, just pack it up and go to a land and I will show you where to end up. Now, let's continue reading. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Israel's history begins with the call of whom? Anybody remember? Abraham. Okay, well, he wasn't Abraham yet. He was Abram, okay? But I'll give that one to you. If you said Abram or you wrote it down on your paper, I'll give you extra credit, okay? But God called Abram to leave his homeland and go to another land that he would show him. He also promised that he would become a great nation. His descendants would live in a specific land. And out of that great nation would come a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Okay? So the Jews call Abraham their what? Their father. Okay, the Muslims call Abraham their what? Their father. And Christians call Abraham their what? Their father. Okay? So, that is a fulfillment right there, that all of the nations of the earth will be blessed, okay, through Abraham. Now, here's an extra credit question. For the first person to raise your hand, I'll have a little prize for you, okay? Who could tell me, Pastor Ken's exempt, Diana's exempt, okay? Sorry. But who could tell me the name of the patriarchs in order? First one to raise their hand and tell me. Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? What's that? I did. It was Joseph. All right, we'll give it to you. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. All right. There's a little bowl of Hershey's Kisses out there. You can grab you one as you leave. All right. Okay, so it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So everybody, let's say that together. You ready? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. They were the patriarchs. Now, how many sons did Jacob have? 12. What did Jacob's name get changed to? Israel. Very good. Man, y'all are not only paying attention in here on Wednesday night, you're also paying attention on Sunday night too. That's good. Okay? Now, which one of the wives did Jacob love the most? Was it Rachel or was it Leah? It was Rachel. Okay? What was the older son of Rachel? What? No, of Rachel. It was Joseph. Okay, it was Joseph. You got Jacob and Joseph mixed up. That's easy to happen. Okay? All right, so Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah and favored her older son, who was Joseph. Okay, now how do we know that Joseph was favored? Because he gave him a coat of what? A coat of many colors. Now, did the other brothers, did they bring in Jacob or Joseph as their buddy, or did they kind of get jealous of him and try to get rid of him? Okay, well, you know the story, okay? They wanted to get rid of him, okay? Now, you know the story. I'm not going to go into a lengthy time here, but as the book of Genesis goes on, and we'll hopefully, probably 1st of March, we'll start getting into the life of Joseph. We'll be finishing up Jacob here in a couple of weeks, then we'll get into Joseph. But as you go throughout the life of Joseph, and then he is discovered by his brothers that he is Joseph. And then when Jacob dies, all of the brothers thought, okay, dad's dead. Okay, Joseph now has been waiting now for dad to die. He is now going to go after us. Now, when Joseph heard that, did that grieve his heart? Or did that, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take you out. Okay, which it grieved him. Yes, it grieved him. And what was Joseph's response? What you did, you meant to me for harm, but God meant it for good. Because God allowed you to do what you did to me, to send me to Egypt, and because I was here, and God opened up every door for me to be in the position that I am in, I saved Egypt. And I saved you, okay? So we see here, what do we see? We see God's sovereignty, okay? So that was letter A. Letter B was Jacob's blessing of Judah. Okay, Jacob's blessing of Judah. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 49. Okay, Genesis chapter 49. That's right. It's not the last chapter, but almost. Let's read verses 8 and then verse 10. Okay, now if you remember what we talked about last week, chapter 49, Jacob, before he dies, he brings all of the brothers in together, and he gives a very accurate description of all of them. But not only does he describe them in very good detail, but he tells them, this is what is going to happen to you and your with your tribe in the near future. Now, one of them was set out different than all of the rest. Now, let's look at verse 8. It says, Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches. He lies down as a lion. As a lion who dares rouse him up. Now note verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Now, if you remember, what we were talking about here from last week is that the blessings of Judah is that the Messiah will come from the seed of Judah. Okay, Judah is described as a lion. Okay, so Christ throughout Scripture is declared as the lion from the tribe of Judah. Okay, so in verse 10, we see something very significant here, talking about a scepter, and then also talking about Shiloh. If you remember from last week, what were we talking about with a scepter? A scepter is like a staff that the king uses to show that he is the king, that he is in power. But then we also have the word Shiloh, and the word Shiloh means to whom it belongs. So what is being said here by Jacob about Judah? He is saying that the scepter belongs to your seed, okay? And that from your people will be Christ, and that one day Christ will rule all nations, okay? We see that in Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, Daniel 7, 13 and 14, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 9. In Galatians chapter 3, we talked about last week the primary way in which Christ is a blessing to the nations, and that is through the cross, and he provided salvation to all the nations. Okay? So we talked about last week Roman numeral number 2, and that is that God worked his plan. God worked his plan. So now we're going to go to the next book, and that is the book of Exodus. God worked his plan. Okay, Mike, for some reason, I am not clicking here. All right. Okay, so God worked his plan. So let's go to Exodus chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 through 7. Okay, now these are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. They came each one with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. All the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number, but Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly, multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so the land was filled with them. So here we have a description now of the Israelites, and that is, first of all, they grew, or God grew his nation. Jacob moved to Egypt with 70 people. So by the time Exodus is opening here, now, we talked last week that when you see the end of the book of Genesis, you would think, well, all ends well here. No. Well, the book of Genesis, yeah, it did end well, but when Exodus opens, it does not open well. Okay? So a couple of centuries has gone by now. A couple of hundred years has gone by. So they have changed pharaohs. Well, the Pharaoh that is in rule in the book of Exodus at the very beginning during the time of Moses does not remember anything about Joseph. Okay? So look at verse 7 once again. The sons of Israel were what? What's that first word? Fruitful. and increased how? Greatly. And what? Multiplied and became how mighty? Exceedingly mighty, so that the land was full with them. Okay? So God has fulfilled his promise to make of Abraham a great nation. So that leads to letter B. And that is that God thwarted Pharaoh's plan. Now, what was Pharaoh's plan? His plan was, I am going to keep them here. I'm going to keep them here. I'm not going to let them get out of here because I need them to be here to help me build my empire. Okay? Now, Pharaoh developed some plans. Now, let's look at plan A in verse 8 through 12. Okay, verse 8, it says, now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. So what was the first plan? What was plan A? Plan A was afflict the Hebrews to limit their number. Now, okay, you were going to answer the question, right? Okay? I didn't ask the question, but why did the Pharaoh afflict them with great rigor? Do you remember? Well, you were like, do you remember? Well, let's hear it. Now you sound like my kid. Maybe. Okay, if he afflicted great, okay, Jeff. There you go. That's it. So they would be too tired, okay? What did God do? Did God allow Pharaoh's plan to work? Nope. They actually grew in number. Okay, so Pharaoh thought, well, I'll just work them so hard that when they get home, they will be too tired to have children. Well, evidently they weren't. Okay, so they had more children. Then there was plan B. Okay, plan B was this. Okay, make the Hebrews serve with rigor to limit their number. Okay, he made them work harder. Okay, made them work harder. It would distract them. But what happened? They would continue to grow in number. So then he develops plan C, and we see that in verses 15 through 21. What was that plan? Kill the boys. Now, who did he direct to kill the boys to begin with? The midwives. He told the midwives that if they give birth to a boy, you kill it. But there was a problem. The midwives, who did they fear? Did they fear Pharaoh or did they fear God? They feared God. Okay, they said, no, we will not kill the children. Okay, so he commanded the wives to kill the baby boys. Okay, but what happened? Okay, midwives feared God and he spared the baby boys. So that led to plan D. Plan D was what? Everybody kill the boys. How were they to do that? Throw them in the Nile to get eat up or to drown. Drown and get eat up. Okay, what a terrible way to go. I think that's got to be one of the worst ways to go is to get eat up by an animal. I mean, it's just terrible. Okay, so command the Egyptian people, throw the baby boys into the Nile. But what happened? God spared whom? Moses. This is where we ended up last week. God spared Moses for his training in Pharaoh's house. Now that leads to Roman numeral number 3. God prepared his leader. God prepared his leader. So now let's go to chapter 2. Let's look at verses 1 through 4. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Okay? Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. So what is the first thing we see here in the life of Moses? We see God's protective hand. We see God's protective hand. Okay, we see that here is a couple. We later learn that the parents' name was Amram and Jochebed. The firstborn son that we see later on in chapter 6, verse 20, their older son was actually Aaron. It was not Moses, but a second boy was later named Moses. Fearing the execution that when Moses was born, she hid him for 3 months. You imagine mothers trying to hide your child for 3 months? What do babies do? They cry. So here she is trying to hide this child for 3 months. Then it gets to the point where she can't hide him any longer. So they make, in fact, the word here of the original word of wicker basket here, the actual word is ark. The same Hebrew word of Noah's ark. So she basically made an ark. Made it watertight with basically tar, and she put it in the Nile. Now, what kind of faith is she exhibiting here? By placing that child into an ark in the Nile River. What is in the Nile? Okay. So this is hazardous right here in itself. But I believe that she knew the time of when Pharaoh's daughter would go to the Nile and bathe. So she strategically placed that baby in the ark and placed it in the Nile at a specific place at a specific time so that Pharaoh's daughter would go to the, and her assistants and guards, okay, are going to be watching out for Pharaoh's daughter as she goes into the Nile to bathe, to make sure that there's no wild animals around, no crocodiles around, no reptiles around, and to make sure that she is safe. So if she is safe, who else is going to be safe? The baby is going to be safe. You following me? So Moses' sister was off to the side, watching. Pharaoh's daughter, you know the story, she hears the baby cry. They bring the baby to Pharaoh's daughter. She opens the lid. She sees the baby. Motherly instincts kick in. Okay, she says, this is one of the Hebrew children. Okay, so here we are seeing God's protective hand over Moses and directing. He is directing his mother to protect Moses by putting Moses into the ark, putting him in the Nile at a specific time, at a specific place, for a specific person to find Moses for a specific purpose. God is working. None of this is just happenstance. All of this is being directed by God. Okay, so she makes the watertight ark. Now, let's look at letter B. Now, this is something that has always amazed me here. And that's in verses 5 through 9. I want you to pay close attention here. It says, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. She had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? Okay, you following the storyline here? There's nothing but amazing. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Now see how God's hand is working. Not only is Moses saved from destruction, but he is saved by Pharaoh's daughter, and then Pharaoh's daughter hires Moses' mother to nurse him and to raise him where? In her house. And not only is she raising him in her house, she's getting paid to do it. Okay, how unbelievable is this? She's getting paid to take care of her own child. Now, what do you think is going on as Moses' mother is nursing Moses? She is telling him that one day God is going to raise a leader. That one day God is going to provide a Messiah. That the I Am is protecting you. The I Am is watching you. So for years now, until Moses becomes a young teenager about the age of 12, he is living in the home of his parents and is learning everything about whom? The I Am. So, let's go to number two. Moses is training in his parents' house, and then there's number two, Moses' training in Pharaoh's house. I'll get a load of this. Okay, not only up until about age 12 has Moses learned about the I Am, but now he transitions from his parents' house to Pharaoh's house. Let's look at verse 10. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. What was he learning now? He was learning the Egyptian way of life. Now, if you know anything about the Egyptian way of life, education was a major thing. He was learning wisdom. He was learning knowledge. He was being taught how to be a leader. He was being taught how to direct, how to command. Okay, he was being taught architecture. He is being taught measurements. He is being taught mathematics. He is being taught unbelievable things because he is in Pharaoh's house. So they're not going to send Pharaoh to a school where you're not taught anything. No, they're going to bring in the best tutors into Pharaoh's house to teach Moses the Egyptian way of life. Okay? Now, it says that Moses was mighty in words. That he was mighty in words. Now, in verse 11, it says, now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up. Okay, so now he is about 40. that he went out to his brethren, looking at the Hebrews, and looked on their hard labors. Now, what do you think now is going through the mind of Moses? Abuse. You're taking advantage of my people. I'm a Hebrew. Yes, I was raised in Pharaoh's house. Yes, I was adopted as their son. But yet, you are abusing my people. Okay, you're harsh. He saw one slave master beating a Hebrew. You know the story. Everybody leaves. He thinks he's by himself. He murdered the slave master. Buries him in the sand. He thought no one saw him. Well, the next day, he was seen. Somebody saw him. It spread. That watch out. Okay? Moses, if you disobey, Moses is going to kill you just like he killed the slave master. If he could kill an Egyptian, he'll sure kill a Jew, a Hebrew. So then that leads to his training in the wilderness. Okay, verses 11 through 22 talks about that. Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up. We just read verse 11, verse 12. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. Okay, we just talked about verses 13 and 14. Verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water the father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon today?" So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and what is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he then? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave him his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." So Moses now is being trained in the wilderness. He's being trained in the wilderness. Now, we have a map here. Okay? And the map is, you see Egypt, okay, right here. And what does it say that he went? He went to Midian, right? He escaped to Midian. Okay, which is, am I see it? I don't see it either. Oh, yeah. Okay, I was looking for a little dot. Okay, right here. That's a trek. I mean, that's a hike. Okay, so he goes from here all the way over here. So he is on the run. Now, what is God doing? Is God leaving Moses to his own vices? No, he is still working. So for 40 years now, what is Moses doing? He is living the life of a what? A shepherd. What is the dumbest animal on earth other than humans? Sheep. Sheep are the dumbest animals. If just read sometime, a shepherd looks at a 23rd Psalm. Just read that. It's an easy read. I don't even think it's 100 pages. I mean, it is a great, easy read. Yes, sir?
He's also learning the lay of the land between there.
Right. Yeah, very true. Very true. Okay. Now, for his first 40 years, he is living in Egypt, and what is he learning in Egypt? Knowledge, mathematics, architecture, how to lead people. He would be probably a foreman on a job site. Okay, he is of prominence. But now he's leading sheep. Okay, what is the Israelites often compared to? Sheep. So we'll begin there next week. So God in his providence now has directed the life of Moses every step of the way to prepare him for leading the Israelites to the promised land. So what can we learn from this? Well, God's self-revelation, number one, that he is sovereign. That he is sovereign. And next week, we'll continue talking about this. All right, well, let's pray. I'm getting you out 10 minutes early. Don't take advantage of that, though, okay? All right, don't take it for granted, okay? Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty and for your divine providence. And now, Father, I pray that you would dismiss us and help us, Father, to be very thankful of how when you call us, you did not desert us, but how, Father, you guide us each and every step of the way. And now, Father, I pray dismiss us with thy blessing, and I pray that you would direct our lives and may we submit to your lordship and to your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Well, Scott, Mike, I'll let y'all out early tonight so y'all can go celebrate your birthday. All right. All right.